Welcome to the 10th Scottish Housing News podcast with Kieran Finlay, the editor of Scottish Housing News, and me, Jimmy Black. Procurement is our subject today, and procurement provides different pleasures. It depends what floats your boat, the joy of a great deal, or the pleasure of navigating your way through complex regulations and coming up with an unchallengeable tender. Like it or loathe it, we all have to buy things, and we need to buy them the right way. And that brings us to our guests, Hugh Carr, Head of Strategic Procurement at Scotland Excel, and Simon Payne, Category Manager with Stirling Council, who are going to take us through the winding alleyways of this complicated subject. So Simon, basically you buy things for Stirling Council. What are the challenges of procuring for the public sector?
You know, the general challenges, you referred to the legislation. All public sector procurement is done under and within a legislative context. Some of the rules and regulations are quite complex, and we have to ensure that as a buying organisation we're compliant within the regulations. It's equally challenging for suppliers who are bidding for work to ensure that their bids are compliant, etc. So that's a huge challenge. The other challenge would just be around the sheer scale and volume and different types of things that we have to buy as a buying organisation. So in my time in procurement, I've purchased wheelie bins for refuse collections. I've purchased websites. I've purchased large amounts of housing stock and materials and services. And every contract's unique. Every requirement is slightly different. And you have to be able to adapt as a buying organisation to the marketplace, the climate that you're in terms of, you know, organisational priorities, etc., and various other things. So there's a lot of challenges, and I certainly prefer the challenges to problems. I think it's challenging, and the key thing is that the buying bodies work with the suppliers to help them with the process as much as anything else.
Okay, and Hugh, you're, as I said, Head of Strategic Procurement at Scotland Excel. Where do you fit in between the buyer and the contractor?
Very good question, Jimmy. So Scotland Excel was set up to be the centre of procurement expertise for the local government sector. So we develop and award national frameworks that local authorities and our associate members can utilise. But there's a key difference in the way that we do that, because we don't just develop a contract or a framework and hand it over for use. The councils are a key development partner in as to how we develop the framework. The specifications are driven by the council requirements, so the needs and the wants are embedded as a core part of the development cycle. So I guess the key difference between what we do is we develop in conjunction with, and then we manage the contracts over the life on behalf of the local authorities and as I said, our associate members. But interestingly, not necessarily at an individual scheme level or an individual contract level, because every procurement, as Simon's identified, is different. So what you might find is that there are different challenges in different parts of the country according to maybe different supplier geographical constraints. But we would be looking at how the overall framework is performing at a macro level, if there's any trends across the country. But we would also manage annual price variances or if there are any supply constraints. So we sit firmly in the middle to support our members, both core council members and associates, as well as if there's any supplier escalations, if there are any particular issues associated with how the contract's being utilised, we would work with our supply base to try to smooth some of those issues out.
So before frameworks like those provided by Scotland Excel were introduced, what were procurement practices like?
So very good question again, Kieran. And, you know, it's worth, even although it's in the kind of semi-distant past, it's worth casting our minds back to, you know, where Scotland Excel and other centres of expertise came from. So way back in 2006, the Scottish Government were really keen to support a whole process or wave of development for public procurement, and there was a real keenness to understand where our sector, as well as the whole national sector, was to try to understand some of the constraints. So they commissioned John McLeod to carry out a review of public procurement, and one of the recommendations that came out of the McLeod review was that there should be centres of expertise up set up to focus on individual supply challenges per sector. So the local government supply challenges are different from health, are different from education, and indeed different from central government. So pre the McClelland review and pre the centre's expertise were being set up, individual buying authorities would effectively be in all probability of repeating the same process. So the whole purpose in developing centres was to leverage best practice through collaborative opportunities per sector, but at the same time also support the wider reform agenda on public procurement, which included ensuring that procurement teams were resourced appropriately, they had the appropriate skills, there was a minimum amount of repetition taking place, and it was never about a drive for the bottom in terms of cost. It was really about upskilling and levering the benefits of collaboration and working together in a sustainable way rather than having a drive to the bottom. So I guess against that backdrop, Kieran, you would have lots of buying organisations, in all probability of repeating exercises against a pretty complex landscape, because the public procurement landscape's challenging because of the regulations. So therefore, it's much more streamlined now than it was. And effectively, the centres are here to help and here to support both our core members, as I said, and our associates as well across the housing sector.
So you mentioned their core members and associates. So is there a membership fee for these organisations to join and sign up to, or can they come in for one contract at a time?
It's difficult for an organisation to fly from one contract, because that would not necessarily be a legitimate way for them to secure their needs. So we operate two separate membership tiers, Kieran. We've got our council members, because Scotland Excel is a shared service across all 32 local authorities, so we're funded by the local authorities. So we're an integral part of the sector. Housing associations can join Scotland Excel via an associate membership programme, as can a number of other public bodies do so as well. Interestingly, it doesn't apply to private sector partners, so they can't join as associate members because they won't fulfil the requirements of associate membership, which would essentially be charities, not-for-profit, arm's-length organisation from local authorities or housing associations. And the fee that associate members pay will depend on individual circumstances. So sticking with the housing sector, there's a fee which aligns with the number of individual properties that they have. So therefore, there won't be a standard fee that would sometimes be prohibitive for smaller organisations, but that would be on a sliding scale according to size and therefore likely utilisation.
So Simon, are you getting value for money? Well, how do you get value for money, basically, from working with a big framework like Scotland Excel?
I think I can say very confidently that there's a lot of advantages. So Stirling Council moved to a centralised procurement function in 2016, and a lot of the things she talked about in terms of sort of increased resource and upskilling staff members followed directly from that. Those staff know their way around the frameworks. They participate in the development of the frameworks. So every framework that Scotland Excel put in place, there is a sort of established user intelligent group structure towards developing the tender documents, and the requirements are shaped towards the council's requirements. Scotland Excel also have an academy that provides plenty of training opportunities for procurement professionals. We've got a number of my team who are currently undergoing training and development courses through that. And there's also just the sort of increased shared expertise that Scotland Excel provide. If you're stuck on something, there's always a contact. If you have an issue that's even going slightly out with the scope of the framework or the specific contract that Scotland Excel have, the staff are always very, very helpful and very, very keen to talk to you and just assist in any way that they can. From a resource perspective, it's obviously massively reduced duplication, again, as you said, in terms of saving every local authority going out to buy the same thing individually where the frameworks exist. There's a huge resource saving for all member authorities in terms of being able to use these national frameworks, which, again, we've had our hand in shaping and we've had our involvement in terms of what the frameworks cover and what they look like and how they operate. And certainly the sort of the second and third generation frameworks that Scotland Excel have now in place, you can see the sort of the fingertips of the local authorities all over them, because the sort of things that were discussed after the first framework have then been input into the second generation and third generation. So, you know, the process is developing year on year, contract on contract, and the collaboration becomes closer and closer.
Contractors. How is it for contractors? I mean, local contractors who maybe have got a good relationship with a housing association or a council, been providing a good service for a long time, might well find that they're excluded when that buyer moves on to a procurement framework. How can you keep relationships with people that you know are good, but maybe just don't have the expertise or the resources to compete with the big guys who are signing up to Scotland Excel to provide services?
So thanks for that, Jimmy. Again, another important point. There's a real important distinction between being able to compete at a national level versus a local level. So when we set up a framework and we release a tender opportunity, a contractor has no advantage if they make an offer for 32 local authorities, and they're not disadvantaged if they only make an offer for one local authority. So economies of scale don't benefit the contractor if they can cover 32 versus can only cover one. In conjunction with that, we work very, very closely with the Supplier Development Programme, which again is embedded within the local government sector. And we would give them visibility of tendering opportunities that are coming up, and they would run specific tender engagement sessions for if we want to target one particular area, and that could be any one of the category activities that we work in. So we try to be as inclusive as possible. In conjunction with that, we have supplier engagement events where we will potentially release a prior information notice so that it creates visibility to the market that we're about to come out for something. And we would invite contractors to contact us for any kind of macro level queries. We wouldn't necessarily at that stage be able to go into the details of the contract, but we certainly try to make our contract opportunities as open as possible. There's another element which I think it's worth mentioning, is that 70% of the suppliers on Scotland Excel frameworks are SMEs, and about 70 to 75% of those SMEs are Scottish. So by default, of all of our supply base, over 50% of our suppliers are Scottish SMEs, and we're keen to continue that as much as possible. But I think, you know, there's another element to it, which is we want to try to demystify the ability to make an offer to get on a large framework, whether it's for one council or 10 councils or 30 councils, because we are really, really keen to share what went well in a tender, what didn't go as well, how could a contractor potentially review and modify. And one of the challenges that we find when we have those conversations is the amount of good practice that goes on out there, even by either smaller or sometimes micro organisations, is incredible. But I think sometimes they become a bit unstuck when it comes to some of the language that's used. So when we ask for what kind of community benefits would be offered, or what other social value could be brought, because these are areas that are, you know, part of our DNA within Scotland Excel. Some smaller contractors say, oh, well, we don't really do much. And we begin to talk, and it turns out that they have been engagement with the local schools. They go along and they give sessions. They talk about how they build houses. They talk about how they surface roads. So there's a lot of very, very good practice going on out there that we can hopefully help to bring to the forefront or public sector contracting to get as much engagement as we possibly can.
Not every contract's a national contract, not every contract's a multi-million pound contract, and the smaller contracts are subject to sort of slightly different procurement routes. And it's about informing the supply base and working with them to make sure that they know first and foremost what opportunities are coming up from Stirling Council, say. And we can do that through supplier forums or communications or just meeting with local businesses regularly. There's a number of ways to approach that. The other element is making sure that the suppliers are keyed into things like the Supplier Development Programme, who can, you know, help get them tender ready, and sort of flagging the opportunities that are coming up from Scotland Excel. So I get asked a lot, you know, how do we do business with Stirling Council? And the response is you've started because you've asked that question of a procurement officer who's going to be able to help talk you through, you know, what is it you're looking to provide, and I'll be able to tell you what the opportunities are, etc.
Hugh, you mentioned earlier that Scotland Excel works with the local authorities to kind of tailor these frameworks to the needs and wants of the local authorities. But is there a role for Scotland Excel to kind of push their members further? I'm thinking in terms of net zero targets.
There's a really interesting one, you know, around environmental sustainability, because we have got some councils that are some of the larger councils that potentially have corporate procurement units that have 30 or 40 people. But you've also got some smaller councils that maybe only have one or two procurement officers. So potentially the support requirements that they have might be a bit different. And I think that it's the responsibility of Scotland Excel to work with some of the larger councils to ensure that the smaller councils can get support, particularly when it comes to new and innovative practices. So a good example of that is we've just awarded recently a new contract for energy efficiency contractors. Now, this is the second generation. But one of the things that we're trying to do is to ensure that we provide greater innovation as part of that contract opportunity. So, for example, we've worked closely with the Scottish Government and with Scottish Enterprise, particularly around alternative sources of heating and domestic properties. So, for example, we've included heat pumps as an alternative to conventional heating systems. And what we have found so far is that the market's not mature enough to effectively make it financially viable at this stage to retrofit individual properties. But we expect to be working together to continue to build that effective demand plan. We can ensure that we can enable the sector to take advantage of the technology that's available and the manufacturing capability that exists in Scotland, particularly when it comes to meeting legislative requirements. And I guess at the other end of the spectrum, we're also working with councils to try to understand the goals and the targets that they have in order to meet the government's net zero targets, and ensuring that our longer term delivery plan complements that and it becomes embedded as part of our operational plan going forward, certainly over the course of the next generation of that plan, which typically would operate in 5-year cycles.
That point about innovation. Now, I can't imagine that Scotland Excel is constantly looking at the market to see what's new in areas such as energy efficiency and maybe also in technology-enabled care, which I've got a bit of an interest in. I mean, is there a cycle, maybe is it every 3 years or every 5 years that you'll, or more often that you'll have a look at all the products in the market and work out, you know, what you need to add? Is there a danger that that kind of process will mean that you're actually working with yesterday's technology rather than keeping up to date with what's being developed?
You mentioned telecare. Telecare is a very good example, because the market for many years has been constrained by analog technology, and that in itself inhibits the quality of care that can be provided or responds to any care challenges that can be provided. We're working very closely with the government and the local government digital office to introduce the next generation of digital telecare equipment, and we've gone to market this year. So one of the things that we've done to try to accommodate a pretty volatile environment in terms of new equipment emerging is we've gone out with something called a dynamic purchasing system, where we can introduce new contractors or suppliers, we can introduce new products, and when we get to the point that we think that there's a sufficient enough supply to satisfy demand, at some point we will develop a framework agreement. So we won't convert that, we will develop a framework agreement that for a time will run in parallel, and the dynamic purchasing system will gradually dissipate and fall off. And we try to bring as much flexibility as we can to ensure that we can keep up with emerging trends, so that we can provide the best service for our members.
I think it's important to remember that innovation isn't always even. It will be, you know, different councils will be at different stages of their journey, so to speak. And by the nature of the process that Scotland Excel undertakes when the doing their frameworks and developing their frameworks and the constant sort of market engagement, etc. They're as up to date as they can be when they go live. And quite a lot of the time, that's more up to date than where some of the buying authorities would have been at that time if they'd done this individually. So there's huge sort of shared learning that comes in when these frameworks go live. And if I could just speak very briefly about the Scotland Excel new build housing framework is a really good example where certain considerations were laid out in a very clear way around sort of, you know, different standards of house gold standard, silver standard, passive housing, and the considerations were just laid out in such a clear way that certainly from the council's perspective, these weren't issues that we weren't aware of, or they weren't considerations that weren't going into our tender process, but it maybe helped inform the conversations that we were having around them, and maybe made the sales pitch a bit easier when we were going to senior managers asking for additional money to look at other options. So I think it's really key, and I personally don't see that procurement has an issue with innovation. I think it's by and large providing enhanced innovation across markets by the way that the contracts have been delivered, reviewed, and then reissued in the second generation.
Simon, I want to come back to you and ask you, who polices all of this? And the Scottish Housing Regulator has a heavy hand on housing associations in many areas. It doesn't seem to have and councils too, but doesn't seem to have a heavy hand on procurement. So what are the perils of getting this wrong? Who's actually going to pull you up if something goes seriously amiss?
The perils are many. I suppose the every contract that you award as a public sector body could be subject to a challenge from an unsuccessful supplier who didn't feel the process had been followed, etc. And that's a huge risk. Obviously, the higher the value of the contract, the higher the stakes for the suppliers involved. And there are multiple examples of suppliers who've been unsuccessful in a tender process, who've been able to challenge the process for whatever reason. So that's something that we're aware of constantly as a buying body in terms of our need to be compliant. The other things that pull us up is the public will pull us up, and the elected members will pull us up if we're not doing what we've committed to from a policy perspective, or if there are concerns about direction in terms of the way the council is spending their money. There is, I think, increasingly a layman's knowledge of procurement and the rules and the do's and don'ts, which is allowing elected members and other senior managers across the council to ask, you know, pertinent questions about a procurement process and make sure that the rules have been followed.
Simon, once you're on these frameworks and you're working with the contractors, do you find that there's more or less mechanisms in place to hold the contractors to account? Are you kind of satisfied that the feedback that you're giving to the framework provider is being acted on?
One of the advantages from a buying authority, from a local authority perspective, of using a framework, of using Scotland Excel, is that you have that additional organisation who's able to pick up any contract management issues that you might have with a specific supplier. You know, the supplier will be aware they're on a multi-lot, multi-council framework. Potentially, if a supplier, for example, wasn't taking a certain council issue as seriously as we'd have liked, if we escalate that to Scotland Excel, by and large, the issues tend to get resolved quite quickly because they have additional clout. They're the framework owners, and they're there to support the councils.
Hugh, what happens if you have an unsatisfied client?
If we've got a dissatisfied client, then, and it directs relatedly to a contractor, a particular contractor, we would begin the dialogue. So we would try to understand what the issue is. And almost always there are various shades of debate that you're likely to find. But we would manage supplier performance. But in the same way, sometimes we would have a contractor that would raise an issue with us about some challenges and how they're receiving, you know, instructions or work packages or dialogue from councils. But I'm happy to say that, you know, the sector's significantly more mature than it was when the first wave of procurement reform began, you know, 12 years ago, 14 years ago. And, you know, lots of those early teething problems that would take place because we were beginning a new wave of working differently through collaboration. So if we have an issue raised with us now through either performance or delivery or through payment cycles, etc., then we would see that as our responsibility to begin the dialogue, speak to each party, and then when it's appropriate to do so, we would hope to bring them together. So we're not necessarily an arbitrator, and we're certainly not a mediator, but if it's against our framework, then it's our responsibility to ensure that we maintain a level of customer satisfaction. But we also want, at the end of that framework cycle, when it comes time to tender for the next one, we want contractors to have a positive experience through it. So therefore, we want them to continue to make an offer for the next generation of that, and indeed expand the portfolio to so that we get as much coverage as possible.
We're coming to the end now, so a question for both of you. Simon, I want you to give some advice, and Hugh, I want you to make a pitch. I think the majority of housing associations are not members of Scotland Excel, so they may be members of other frameworks. Simon, what advice would you give to housing associations? Should they sign up with someone like Scotland Excel? And Hugh, if you could follow, make your pitch. So Simon.
It's a quite an easy one for me. They certainly should be looking at signing up with Scotland Excel. There's a number of advantages, many of which we've sort of discussed already, in terms of having that centre of expertise leading on major frameworks. So it's a nice easy one for me. I'll hand over to Hugh for his pitch.
And you know, Jimmy, it's an easy one for me. I think that what effectively you get is you get a one-stop shop. You get support in helping to determine what the appropriate level of contracting activity should take place. You can tap into, you know, any one of our 75 frameworks that we've got live currently. You can be an integral part of developing the next generation. You can get advice, and you can tap into the best practice that's been generated through working with Scotland's 32 local authorities, because 50% of housing stock is currently managed within the housing associations, but 50% within councils. So therefore, for us, it's not just about levering economies of scale, and it's not about, you know, being able to tap into a much, much larger organisation. It's about being able to leverage the best practice that we can generate, because we're an integral part of the sector. We're not a third party that is interested in generating surplus amounts of cash through what people spend through our frameworks. We are a not-for-profit organisation, and everything that we generate goes back into developing better services as we go forward.
And Hugh, just before you go, I saw that Scotland Excel is reopening its graduate trainee programme this week, following a pause during the pandemic. Could you tell us more about that?
Well, great question again, Kieran, so thank you for asking. Yes, we have had very high success rates through our previous graduate programmes. And some of our senior managers joined the organisation as graduates, and when we brought in the first intake back in 2009. So it's been very successful for us. So we see it as a real opportunity. We are, you know, heavily committed to growing talent, not just for within Scotland Excel, but for the sector. We've got our Scotland Excel Academy that can support the development, the hands-on experience that young people can acquire as they develop their career, but we can augment that with the work that we do. We're an affiliate partner of the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply, so we're on accredited programmes. We deliver accredited CMI programmes as well, so we can provide the management development activity. But for us, this is about ensuring that we continue to develop our capabilities and our people for the next generation of challenges that come through. So very successful in the past. I'm delighted to say that we after pausing it for a couple of years, we're opening it back up again, as we are recruiting modern apprentices as well. So for us, this is about development from a grassroots level to ensure that we remain, you know, a sustainable organisation, but crucially can provide the services for our members that they desperately need. So it's very exciting, and I would encourage anyone to consider joining us, not just on graduate programmes, but we've got openings across all of our teams at different levels in the organisation, and we've got a microsite that's attached to our own website, so I would unashamedly plug that and encourage people to come talk to us. Come talk to me, I'm happy to have an informal conversation, but we've got lots of exciting opportunities based on the work that we're doing, and we're keen to expand our team. So I would encourage anyone who has an interest in joining, you know, a procurement organisation that you're going to learn a lot from and make a valid contribution, then please come and talk to us.
And that brings us to the end of our 10th Scottish Housing News podcast. So it's thanks very much for listening from Kieran Finlay, the editor of the Scottish Housing News, and me, Jimmy Black. And thanks to our guests, Hugh Carr, Head of Strategic Procurement at Scotland Excel, and Simon Payne, Category Manager with Stirling Council. We'll see you next time.